On December 15th of this year, two bishops in Ireland issued a joint Christmas message to the church. They're both archbishops in Armagh, though one, the Most Reverend Richard Clark, is a Roman Catholic archbishop. The other, the Most Reverend Eamon Martin, is an archbishop in the Church of Ireland, an Anglican church. Now, while it's not unheard of for a Roman Catholic bishop and an Anglican bishop to offer a joint greeting, it is, I think, noteworthy that these two bishops did so. For there was a time not long ago when these two Irish archbishops would be on very different sides of a conflict. Not that many years ago, there was violent strife between Roman Catholics and Anglicans in Northern Ireland. Though both are Christian denominations, and in fact traditions that theologically are not far apart, politically in those years they were miles apart. They were in radically different places. Since the Good Friday Agreement of 1998, these two Christian bodies are able to work together in relative peace and unity. A peace and unity that has come to the whole of Northern Ireland. In their joint message this December, they observe that while we often wish people a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, rarely do we use the word hope in our greetings. They notice that people this year are finding it especially difficult to, as they say, feel real hope. They say, and I quote them, "Hope indeed is a rare commodity, and people are sometimes cautious about wishing for too much hope, lest they be disappointed." The archbishops see that recent violence and destruction have caused hope to be in short supply this Christmas. In their own words, they say, "In the world around us, with all the violence and destruction that we have seen in recent weeks and months, there seems little interest in any scenario of hope. Yet as Nobel Peace Prize laureate Archbishop Desmond Tutu said, hope is being able to see that there is light despite all the darkness. Pope Francis has also often said, do not allow yourselves to be robbed of hope." The bishops call on those hearing their message to hold on to hope, for hope is the opposite of despair. And they call on those hearing their message not just to hold on to hope, but to, every one of them, be agents of hope. For as Christians, we're called to be a people of hope, just as Jesus brings hope into this troubled world in his birth in Bethlehem. On this Christmas Eve, we hear that familiar story of the birth of Jesus from the Gospel according to Luke. And this Gospel, above all others, is careful to place the birth in an historical context. Luke, ever the historian, tells us the name of the Roman emperor and the name of the local ruler. Luke's account is striking because it is common in our own era to hear people, if they should talk about Christianity, to often speak of its universal truths and principles. Luke, however, is very careful to situate the coming of God in the person of Jesus in the particularity of time and of space. God comes to us born of Mary, who is engaged to Joseph. God comes to us in the flesh and person of Jesus. Jesus is born in a particular country and a particular time, and into very human circumstances. God enters human history not in broad generalities and principles, but in a baby born of a human mother. God enters human history in particularity and specificity. This particularity is surprising. The good news of the Savior's birth does not come where we might think. It does not come to the powerful rulers of the age. Rather, the birth of Jesus is announced to shepherds, a lowly lot, living both literally and figuratively at the edge of society. People living without power or prestige, and yet they are the ones who glimpse eternity this night as they see that host of angels and hear them sing God's praises. Mary and Joseph themselves are not people of power or note. In fact, Mary is but a young girl, one not yet married to Joseph, and yet she's giving birth to her firstborn son. And they are subject to the ruling authorities. They have to travel to Bethlehem for a census taken at the whim of a foreign ruling power. And shortly after Jesus is born, Mary and Joseph will have to take the child and become refugees in Egypt, fleeing a fearful and insecure ruler, King Herod. And so the birth of Jesus comes to a world that is weary with this Roman occupation. It comes to a world that knows much injustice. The birth of Jesus heralds the promise, that promise spoken of old of the ancient prophets, that the Messiah will come and will deliver the people from all that enslaves them. This child born to these humble parents, the one born in a manger with the animals, is the longed-for Messiah. He is born to give hope to the outcast and marginalized, to call the mighty and rich to a new way of life. He comes to transform this world and to lead humanity to a new life, one of hope, one of salvation. It is no accident that the first people to visit this child of Bethlehem are those lowly shepherds. The baby spends the first hours of his life surrounded by the humble and the outcast, by the very people he came to seek and save. He spends those first hours with those he will spend the rest of his earthly life and ministry among. And to them he offers hope and a new way of life. It's also no accident that the first words heard after he is born are those of the angel of the Lord who says, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people." The shepherds, of course, were terrified. Who wouldn't be seeing that heavenly host? But the angel assures them there is nothing to fear. And the angel assures us, too, that there is nothing to fear now that Jesus has been born. And yet, as the Irish bishops remind us, fear is all around us. There are many things that are causing this fear in our world this Christmas. This fear of terror attacks, fear of gun violence, fear of where this world is heading and what the future might hold. This Christmas, our world has seen the largest refugee crisis since the Second World War. 60 million persons have been displaced, and 20 million of them are refugees. According to a recent New York Times article, Europe has seen the arrival of more than 1 million refugees in this year. Some people have become so fearful that they have called this country to refuse entry to refugees, especially from Syria. Others have called for the registration of all Muslims. Fear seems around us. How can we have hope in the face of these realities? In our own personal lives and in our families, perhaps this also has been a difficult year. Many people in our neighborhood, in our community, in our world know financial struggles. Others know poor health and illness. For some of us, loved ones are no longer with us this Christmas, and that causes us grief and pain. Into all these places of fear and suffering, the Christ child is born, bringing the promise we heard in our first reading from the prophet Isaiah, the prophet who said, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined." While there is pain and suffering in our world, and perhaps in our lives, Christmas promises that life has value and has meaning. Sin, violence, and death are not the last word. God loves us so much as to be born among us as a helpless, poor, vulnerable baby. God loves us so much as to enter into our lives and transform us by the light of God's love. Bathed in this light of God, we are called to be beacons of God's light and God's love to this world, called to be people who always live by hope. We are called to proclaim what we have seen and heard, just as those shepherds did, and to go and tell the world this good news. And we are always called to love all as God loves us. St. John Chrysostom, the great preacher of the early church, in a homily on the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, said, "If we lived with God's love everywhere in abundance, how great benefits would ensue, how there were no need then of laws or tribunals or punishments or avenging or any other such things, since if all lived and were beloved, no one would injure another. Yea, murders and strifes and wars and divisions and frauds and all evils would be removed, and vice unknown even in name. If this were truly observed, there would be neither slave nor free, neither ruler nor ruled, neither rich nor poor, neither small nor great." God entering human existence and history in the baby Jesus calls us to love one another as God loves us. God enters human life showing us how to be the best humans we can be, showing us how to live the life of God, the love that God desires for us. God is born this night, setting us free from all that enslaves and alienates us, setting us free to love all as God does. In the birth of Jesus, we see the fullness of God's love for humanity, for you and for me, for all people. We see that God calls us each by name, and that each of us is beloved of God. In this love of God, fear is dispelled and all hatred cast out. This Christmas, let us commit ourselves to being the presence of Christ in this hurting world, that we might live by hope and share with all the message of hope made known in the birth of Jesus. Moment by moment, day by day, may we love our neighbor, welcome the least, shelter the refugee, offer food to the hungry, and water to the thirsty. May we open our hearts that the child of Bethlehem might cast out all fear, filling us with the light of his hope and love. And may we share this light with all we meet. Amen.